dearest, most kind and loving Heavenly Father, we come before Thee once more to thank Thee for Thy greatness, to thank Thee for the plan which we have been able to take these days and hours to look at, to examine even more closely in our hearts and in our minds, that we might examine our walk. We come to Thee in the precious name of Jesus now at this time, and everything says in every fiber of our being, we are here to now examine the most important thing of our existence, consecration. That which we have taken as a challenge to ourselves, and as we put our hand in the hand of our Lord and Savior, we ask we continually would learn more about it, learn every facet of it. And so we ask Thy blessing upon this hour and the brother who will break to us the bread of life. We remember our candidate or candidates at this point, and we remember also ourselves as continuing candidates. And we ask that we would be given the necessary portion of Thy Holy Spirit in the days and weeks and years to come, according to Thy will and Thy care, that we might be able to put into practice these principles which burn in our hearts and in our minds, that we would desire to be pleasing in Thy sight and to please Thee in every way possible. We ask, Father, that You would be help us mindful of all those who have gone before, who have been fine examples to us. Our minds are full of those who have passed the torch on to us, and we ask that You would continue to be with us, especially as we have asked during this hour of contemplation, of consecration, of giving of ourselves fully to Thee. We pray for Thy blessing, not only ourselves here, and we have been richly blessed, but we ask that You would be with those in those in sickness, those in isolation the world over, and who call upon Thee, and who also wish to make their callings and elections sure. We ask You all these things and pray once more that we would be able to learn at Thy feet, that we'd be humble, teachable of Thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Randy. We now turn to our dear Brother Stuart and bringing to us thoughts along the lines of consecration and baptism of the new creation. A title once more, consecration and baptism of the new creation. Brother Ladd.
Dear brethren, I have to say that we're very thankful to be here on this special occasion, and thankful for the privilege of being one of the many that are here for the very purpose of helping Brother Dustin in his walk in this narrow way. Consecration. Consecration means submission. Full consecration means full submission. What does it mean practically to you, Brother Dustin? It means that you give your all. And I basically could ask you right now to reach in your pocket and pull everything out and put it on the table. And that would tell you only a little bit of what you would be giving up in this symbol. In reality, it goes much deeper than that. Because in consecration, which is a momentary act, which you have already done, is the submitting of your entire life to the Lord. In that, it even goes deeper than saying, I give my life to the Lord. In reality, what you're doing is giving every single right that you have as a perfect human being today, or as a human being today, and as a perfect human being in the future. You're giving it all away. And so in reality, your pockets are empty. You have nothing whatsoever once you have given this all up. That's what consecration really means. That's what surrender really means. We're very thankful today that you have made this decision to give everything that you have and that you will have or would have as a perfect human being up. Because you're giving all of those gathered here with you in this room, including myself, an opportunity to renew our consecration that we have already made to the Lord. As I said, consecration is a momentary act. You give it up. It's a little bit like the slaying of the goat, the Lord's goat. Once the knife comes down and the goat is slain, you can never take it back. And so, from that standpoint, one could consider this as being a very solemn occasion, because it is occasion of entering into our Lord's death, dying just like He did. When we talk about baptism and consecration, we're talking about those that have been called of our Heavenly Father for the very purpose of being a blessing to all the families of the earth. And Brother Dustin, I had the privilege of talking with you, and I know now what your desire is. You want very much to bless all the families of the earth. You want to be a part of that. And that in itself is very, very pleasing to me, and I'm sure extremely pleasing to the Heavenly Father. We talk about baptism of the new creation. When we talk about baptism, we're talking about submerging one into water. And yet the real baptism is not the submerging of one into water. That's only a symbol. The real baptism is the submerging of yourself into the will of the Lord. And it's very interesting that if you look at the second part of this, you look at the new creation, you're talking about the new mind. The new mind is the new creation. And so in reality, what you're doing is submerging your new mind into the will of God. And from henceforth, as the Father is dealing with you as part of this new creation, He's dealing with this mind. The body that you have has one purpose and one purpose only, and that is to carry that new mind with it. It is the responsibility of the new mind to bring the body into submission to the new will. And so as you begin your walk in this new way, you are beginning to bring about part of this new creation. Now, when we talk about new creation, Brother Dustin, and brethren, I'm going to be talking mostly to Brother Dustin, and I'd appreciate it if you'd kind of stick with me as far as that goes. But this is his discourse. The pastor wrote in volume 6, in the very first chapter, all about the earthly creation. And he went into great detail in talking about the development, the creative work that went into bringing about a creation that had the ability to appreciate things, to appreciate the flowers and the birds and the trees and God's entire creation. And if you read that chapter, you'll read more in detail about creation than you'll find in 100 books out there. But then the pastor spends the next 13 chapters of that volume talking about a new creation. And this is the creation of God. It is true that the Father rested and that the Lord is the primary person in developing this new creation. But the Father is the author of this. This is His creation. And it is most marvelous to us to realize that even after all these years of man being on the earth, that this new work is beginning and is being carried out. And we're almost at the very end of that work. The Lord asks us as to whether we are able to drink of the cup that He drank of and to be baptized with the baptism that He was being baptized with. And therefore, you mentioned to me earlier that you were concerned, a little bit scared about the step that you were taking. And from the standpoint of the flesh, you have a great deal to be concerned because you have given up everything. But from the standpoint of the Lord, you do not have a concern about giving this all up, because the Father is going to make this up 100,000 times better for you. And the way that He's going to do this is that He is going to give you every need that you could ever want in order to accomplish that. I spoke to you prior, when you first got here today, about a code that I hope that you never forget. It's 45:8:28. It's the 45th book of the Bible. It's the 8th chapter, and it's the 28th verse. And that simply says that we know that all things work together for good to those that love the Lord, to those that are called according to His purpose. Remember that code, because it will be your assurance. It will be your guarantee policy in your everyday. Now, I would like, from one standpoint, to be able to stand up here in front of you and tell you that it's going to be a rose garden, that it's going to be easy. But I know you have already studied some. And I'm sure you have looked at the ancient worthies of old and how they suffered. The Apostle Paul tells us a great deal about that in Hebrews 11th chapter. And you notice that each one of them had their trials. And then you look at the Lord Himself. And you remember how easy it was for Him. He just strictly drove through the country and preached and everybody loved Him and so on. Well, it's not true. The Scripture says that if we suffer with Him, we will also reign with Him. We take a look at the divine plan of the ages. And one of God's tools has always been hardship, suffering, experiences. We look at Noah. Remember how he was persecuted? How they talked against him? Everybody was against him. As a matter of fact, it was just 8 that sided with him out of the thousands. We talked about Hebrews, the 11th chapter. And we have the ancient worthies. A few years back, a number of us brethren had the opportunity of going to Israel. And Brother Ken Rawson's mission at that time was to show us what great things the nation of Israel had to suffer to have the privilege of having this position. The entire church has suffered. I hope you're able to get into the second volume. The time is at hand. And especially the chapter that for some seems so hard to study. But it is really quite beautiful. And that is the man of sin. And in that chapter you will learn the method that the Lord used to purify His saints. It's referred to as a period of wearing out of the saints. It was a period of 1260 years in which the saints were suffered greatly, even being burned at the stake. We have a tendency of believing that that might not be possible anymore. We don't know. The pastor says in that chapter that the doctrines that caused the people to do those things has not changed. And so given the opportunity, it might happen again. If it doesn't happen on a large scale, be assured it will happen on a small scale. There are those that will hate you. The world of mankind, as shown in the Messianic age here, being brought forth. It's called a highway to holiness. It will not be a way that is easy either. They will have to take all their experiences that they had in their lifetime and they'll have to put it into practice. They'll have to apply the lessons therefrom. And so that too shows how God deals with His children. The glorious part of this all is we are able to see the end of this. And that brings me to a part of this discourse that is especially promising to me. And I think promising to you. Knowing all these things, and you remember the Lord said to His disciples, I'm telling you these things ahead of time, so that when they come to pass, you will know. Okay? But the Lord will provide for you things that you can't even begin to imagine at this point, how great they will be. Number one, He will provide His power and His influence within your life. What does that mean? We think of the power and influence of God as being able to move on the face of the earth. And various things came about in the creative work. Now, this is God's new creation. And when His Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be able to be formed to His image. Our Lord called this the Comforter. And when I start out and talk about all the suffering and the pain that will come to you, the people that will not like you, remember that the Lord asked the Father to send a Comforter for you. And that Comforter would, first of all, beget you. And in that begetto, you would become this new creature that we are talking about. And second of all, that Comforter
would give you a sound mind. Now, that's a little bit hard to swallow. What do I mean by a sound mind? Well, in reality, what that means is it is the mind of God. It doesn't come to you on a silver platter. It comes by hard studying, learning what the Father is doing, and by having this mind of God within you, the decisions that you will make in your life will be sound ones. They'll be sound ones in harmony with your desire to be part of the bride of Christ, to be part of the blesser class that will bless all the families of the earth. Your Father has promised you that He will enter into a special covenant with you. And in that covenant, He will provide everything that you need as a new creature. It's called the covenant of grace. And the thought of the covenant of grace comes from the fact that Sarah was beyond age to have a child, and the Father made it possible to bring about that seed that He promised through Abraham to bless all the families of the earth. Now that was, according to nature, an absolute impossibility. But by the power of God, that grace manifested itself in Abraham having a child at the age of 100 and Sarah at the age of 90. A seed that would bless all the families of the earth. And the Apostle Paul has told you that if you be Christ possessive, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to that blessing. You recall that unto Isaac everything was given. The other sons of Abraham were sent away with gifts, but everything was given to Isaac. And you can be heirs to that if you're faithful to this covenant that the Father will make with you or has made with you. In addition to giving you the Holy Spirit, your Father has provided for you clothing. Clothing of a most special kind. You know, we need clothing. But this clothing that the Father will provide for you is called Christ's robe. And it will cover you so that when the Father looks down upon you, He will only see this robe. Few will be able to see this robe or even to recognize it as you walk in a daily life. But your Father will be able to see it. And your bridegroom, your prospective bridegroom, will be able to see it. And to Him, it will be most beautiful because He died so that you could wear this robe. This covering, this robe provides for you a standing in the presence of the great God of this universe, the one that you are able to call Father. The rest of the world of mankind, you'll hear them talk about God. But I want you to remember that it is your special privilege to address Him, not as God, but as Father, because He is your Father. In addition to providing you with a robe, He will provide you with a family. And all you have to do is look around and you can see a small portion of that family. The family will be different than most families that you know. For the will, excuse me, I lost my place here.
They are more than likely not the family members that you would pick, these family members that you have here. If you went out and actually thought that, well, I'm going to take and make my choices, these are probably not the family members that you would pick. But this family will have something that most of the members that you would probably pick at this time, at least, they will have something that you really need. And that is, they will have a hope that is unlike anything that you can find in the world of mankind. They will have the same goal as you have. The goal that says, I want to lay down my life for the world of mankind. The hope is the reconciliation of mankind to God. Think about that. That you, as a individual, can have part in bringing the world of mankind back into harmony with God. Back to the same condition that Adam had when this all began. And yet, that is the very hope that we have before us. And the Father has said He will make it possible by giving you this power and covering you with this robe. So your desire will be the same. I would like to, in reference to this family, warn you about something. And that is that they have the flesh with them constantly. And they will make mistakes along the way. I would encourage you never, never, never to lift up the robe that they're wearing and to look at that flesh. It will hurt them, yes, but it will hurt you more. So do not pick up that robe. Always try to look at the robe of Christ's righteousness. Always try to remember that these family members of yours goes before the same Father that you do. Daily, many times, oftentimes a day, and they ask forgiveness for the things that they fall short of. Remember that the Father is developing them just exactly as He is developing you. We had a discourse just prior to this about forgiveness. And they go to the same Father as you go to ask forgiveness. The same God that's forming them is forming you. In addition, the Father will provide you with examples. Your Father has and will continue to provide for you examples, patterns to follow. These examples may be the brethren in your own ecclesia, or they may be from a distant city, or as far as that goes, from a different country. It may be that they will be the prophets and ancient worthies of old, as you read about them in the Scriptures. The apostle has told you that they are a great cloud of witnesses for your benefit, and you need to study them and to look at them as to how the Father has used them. Because from them you will learn lessons that will help you to develop. There is nothing more important, because you have given up everything and there is nothing left except for this new creature. And therefore, you must bend all your energies for this development. We would encourage you to think often also on the pastor, the seventh messenger. For it is written that he was faithful and wise. But especially we would hope that you would think often on the perfect example, the example of our Lord. For therein you have the absolute most perfect example that you can get. Each example that is provided for you is for the purpose of assuring you that the journey that you are on has been trod by others. Maybe not to the same goal as in the case of the ancient worthies, but always be assured that victory is possible. And that's the lesson that we can gain in these examples. The Father has also promised you love. And this is a love that is quite different than you will have ever experienced before. It's the ultimate love. And it's the ultimate love for you. Because remember, always remember that you are part of this new creation. And when the Father begins to create something, He does not fail to complete it. The only person that can take you outside of that creation is you yourself. You have to willingly and intentionally do it. But that love is so great that your Father was willing to give His only begotten Son to die for you, to suffer for you, as was brought out earlier in this convention. And I do not believe you were here at the time that Brother Dan gave his discourse, but I would surely encourage you to get a tape and listen carefully to that, because it manifests this great love that the Father had for you. And I think that as we take a look at our Lord and what He did for us, we begin to comprehend at least partially what great love your Father has for you. Because this was done for you. The picture of the tabernacle, of the bullock that was sacrificed, it's a picture of our Lord. And that sacrifice was given for His household. And we are His household if we abide in Him. Our Father has also promised you life. These are pretty big gifts. You stop and think about it. He has promised you life. You know, today, you may get sick. You may get sick and die. It's possible. This is not life. Your Father will provide you a new life. He'll provide you a new life now. And it's the life of the new creature. The things that you thought important in the past will grow less and less important. The people you associated with in the past will not hold the same place as they once did. They will want to do other things for pleasure. You must consider the value of everything that you do from here on in. You must determine that in this life that the Lord has given you now, as a new creature, as to whether that which you really want to do today is going to benefit you in order to receive the promised glory. Will the activities that you do today bring you closer to the Lord, or will it separate you from the Lord a little bit more? If you do whatever today and it affects you that you have to spend 2 more weeks making your call and election sure, you need to consider the cost related thereto.
everything that you do must be focused to the one end of being faithful to the covenant that you have entered into.
If you are faithful to the covenant that you have entered into, your Father will give you a life that cannot be compared to every hardship that you may have today. He has promised to those that overcome the privilege of sitting in His throne. Think about that. The privilege of sitting in the Father's throne and the power over life and death. Immortality. Think for a moment of the joy of raising just one individual out of the grave, of giving them the opportunity of life. Can any suffering that we have today, can any experiences that we have today, can any sacrifice of pleasure or joy that we have today compare with the joy of giving life to just one individual? I don't think so. The Father has also promised to you, Brother Dustin, food. Oh, not the kind of food that we just ate. Although I'm sure that with the wonderful cooks that we have, the brethren will more than supply everything that you need. But the food that the Father will provide for you is for your growth. But remember, you're to reckon the old man dead, and therefore the food that you partake of must be for the new mind. You must grow intellectually. The very purpose of the seventh messenger was to provide meat in due season. He has promised, the word meat refers to food. It refers to nourishment. It refers to nourishment to the new mind, to the new creature. The promise is for spiritual food, for spiritual nourishment, for the household. And one of the most simple things that you can do, and it's my understanding that you've already started doing this, and it thrills me, and that is to ask questions. Always have some questions in your pocket, as the case may be, that when you get together, you can discuss spiritual things, because by that means you will grow. To the extent that you don't take this opportunity to grow, the time is wasted and you can never make it up. So take and put questions in your mind or your pocket and ask the brethren. Not only will you be helping yourself, but you will be helping them a great deal. More than you could ever possibly know, because you will help them to keep focused. And for each one of you, brethren, you have the same responsibility for Brother Dustin. Be there to encourage him along the lines of spiritual things. He needs this food. He's a baby and he's growing. In the Father's human resource plan, as case may be, he has a vision plan in there. You know, when we go to work for companies, we like to have them provide us vision plans and our health insurance so that we are able to get these glasses that are supposed to help us to see. Well, the Father has provided for you with the ability to have spiritual vision. And I don't think that there's anything that can do more for you to prove that the Father is dealing with you, that the Father loves you, than your ability to see. You know, every one of your brethren that are
sitting here have asked the question themselves, is the Father still dealing with me at some point or another? They wanted to know. And the Father reveals that often by causing us to understand more truth, more of His plan, more of His love.
He's not talking about natural vision here, but the vision to see beyond the human factor, to see the beauties of truth, the beauties of God's love, perfect love. We were just talking during dinner hour here about the detail of the plan of God.
I could safely say that you'll never run out of various aspects of the detail of God's plans. There are so many parts to it. And the Father will cause you to understand a little bit here and a little bit there about the detail of His plan. And I'll illustrate that just simply by saying that in the tabernacle, there is a great deal of detail. Detail that will help you appreciate the Father more, because it will help you understand how He's going to bless all the families of the earth and how you can be a part of blessing all the families of the earth. If you look at the tabernacle, which is on the chart behind me, the tabernacle proper has 100 silver sockets. Now, silver in the tabernacle represents truths. And those silver sockets have a purpose. And that is to give standing for the boards, the golden boards of the tabernacle. You remember there's 48 golden boards around the tabernacle. And there's 2 silver sockets for each board. Now, the boards represent the new creation, the new creature. And their standing is in silver. The detail is that silver represents truth. And it's not just one truth. It's all the silver sockets. And when you study it out, you'll come to understand that there are like 100 doctrines that particularly relate to the church standing in Christ. And that will be a study for you there. 48 boards, 2 silver sockets for each one. That's 96. There's 4 more. And that's in the 4 posts between the holy and the most holy. That's the detail that your spiritual vision will begin to give you and give you the privilege of understanding these beautiful little things.
And there's many more. I could talk about the tabernacle all evening. One of the spiritual visions that you're going to be able to see and appreciate
that is a miracle for you to see is the nation of Israel and how they're being restored to the land. You know, there's hardly a day goes by that the nation of Israel isn't in the news someplace. And the whole world of mankind looks at it. And if they had their way, they would wipe Israel off the map. Because Israel is a problem to them. But you're going to be able to see some beautiful aspects about Israel. And you're going to be able to see how God deals with them. I don't have the time to tell you about Jeremiah's purchase. I'll tell you about that later on.
It's a little detail.
The Father's also promised you hearing aids. Remember in Revelation, it goes through all 7 stages of the church. And one of the things it said at the end of every one of the messages, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. you will be able to hear the things that the Father is saying unto the churches. Especially, you'll have the privilege of understanding the things that he said unto the seventh messenger, or what the seventh messenger said unto the church. We're living in a most glorious time when the pastor was given the master key to the storehouse, and he opened it for us.
He'll give you the ability to have
an additional sense that the world of mankind does not have, and that is a spiritual sense.
And he'll give you the ability to understand the instructions
that the Lord has laid out for you.
In Ephesians, the 4th chapter, in 11th through the 15th verse, he tells you that he has given us apostles, and prophets, and evangelists, pastors, and teachers. All these have been given for you. And the purpose of it is for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's a message to you and to us. And again, he says, until we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive us. And so these things are given to us. He has promised you health, spiritual health. And if there is a problem within your spiritual life, you have the privilege of calling to the elders and asking them to pray for you. The entire theme of this convention is prayer. Pray without ceasing, and your brethren will pray for you, that your spiritual health might be well. You know, everybody in this world seems to be concerned about a job. And your Father has promised you a job. And the job is reconciliation. It's bringing the whole world of mankind up the highway of holiness. It's a job that will be rewarding in every aspect. And that's a job that you'll have the privilege of doing with your Lord. How about assets?
I told you you could take and lay everything that you have on your table, your checkbook, everything that you have. Well, your Father is the richest of all. He has the cattle on 10,000 hills, and he has the hills to go with him. And he is generous, and he is loving. And you'll have the privilege of working with all the families of the earth to bless them with those assets.
Communication network. We go right back to prayer, don't we? The Father will give you the ability to communicate.
And you'll have a direct line. You don't have to go through Mother Mary or anyone else. You will have the privilege of going to the Father. Yes, through our Lord, but no man whatsoever.
And that's a promise. We talked about an advocate. You will have the Lord as your advocate to walk alongside with you, to help you and guide you to make all the decisions that you need to make as right as you can.
The Lord will permit you to make mistakes. He has done with me, I assure you, many. But he'll permit you to make mistakes, but he will stick with you, walk alongside. And like Moses, and we had it mentioned to us today in discourse about what a advocate that Moses was, that he stood up to God for the nation of Israel. I think it was Exodus, the 32nd chapter, the 30th verse. Well, our Lord is a better than Moses, and he'll walk with you.
Yeah. The guarantee that our Lord has given you,
that the Father has given you, is found in Romans 8:28. All things will work together for your good. That's a guarantee. Again, the only person that can separate you from the love of God is you yourself. You have to do it intentionally and purposely.
With all that he has
for you, why would you want to? For the privilege that you have, why would you want to? The apostle Paul expressed it in the words, "For the joy set before our Lord, he despised the shame and is now set down at the right hand of the Father." Our prayer is that you will have the same joy before you at all times.
So, what does the Father really require you? How can we take and sum it all up? Bring it to a close. In Proverbs, the 23rd chapter and the 26th verse, the words are very, very simple. And it says, "My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways." These simple words say, full consecration, study to make thyself approved unto God, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, be thou faithful unto death. They're simple words, but it covers it all. I'd like to ask you three questions. There are three very important questions. Do you recognize yourself as a member of the fallen Adamic race, born in sin and shapen in iniquity? Do you accept the merit of the shed blood of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as your ransom price to redeem you from the sin of Adam? And based upon the merit of that shed blood of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, have you made a complete consecration of your right to perfect human life forever, as well as a complete and whole unreserved consecration of your present life to the Lord? Based upon the affirmative response of these questions, I submit to you that you have entered into a covenant of sacrifice signed with your own blood. It is my privilege on behalf of our Heavenly Father, His beloved Son, and all the brethren gathered here and throughout the world to extend to you the right hand of fellowship. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not on thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path.